Well, he plunged me to victory. And that's something that we all should hang on to, because Jesus was the only one that could do that, because his blood was the only thing powerful enough to overcome sin and death. And we should ever be thankful for songs like that that remind us of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his love for us. You know, we sang a song even before that, Brother Randy picked, "We Shall See the King Someday." And what grand hope there is in that, what excitement there is, and how important that is for each one of us to truly believe that. Because, you know, that is ultimately our hope. We serve a living Savior, a risen Savior, and He sits now at the right hand of God, and there He had that promise, He's coming back. He's coming back for everyone who's faithful, everyone who believes. In the book of John chapter 16, in that verse 32, we read here that Jesus said, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now has come, that you will be scattered, each one to his own will. Leave me alone, and yet I am not alone," Jesus said, "because the Father is with me." Jesus preparing for his death, his imminent arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion that he knew was coming. And yet he was able to tell his disciples that he was not alone. And in the same manner, we're not alone. Jesus, facing that cross and all of these things, certainly as being fully man, he had trepidation. But Jesus knew the end from the beginning. He knew what was to come. He knew and faced the cross for the glory of heaven. And so he didn't allow fear to motivate him. He didn't allow fear to direct his thinking. And in verse 32, as we read on here, or 33, Jesus says, "The things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Isn't that interesting? His hour was coming, and yet, rather than running in fear, he faced these things head on. And we need to learn from that, each one of us, as we go through life. And I think it's so very, very critical that we remember Jesus said, "Yet I am not alone." We've all heard that proverbial phrase that we don't know the future, but we know who holds the future. Right? And that's our God. That's our Creator. That's Jesus Christ. That is the one who knows the beginning from the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And we need to keep that very close to our hearts to understand that there's all kinds of things going on in this world, but we shouldn't fear. We can't live in fear. Not if we have a relationship through the blood of Christ. And the reason is because Jesus, as I just read, He has overcome the world. There is nothing as powerful as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are victorious through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ will help us to overcome anything whatsoever comes our way. And that's demonstrated through His death, burial, and resurrection. There was nothing can hold Him down, and there's nothing in our lives that He cannot deal with. When we think about casting all our cares upon Him, realize that those aren't just, that's just not a catchphrase. We're talking about handing over our fears and our problems, our anxieties to the one who created all things. The one that not anything that's made was not made by Him, everything. And so we are His disciples, and He's watched care over us until the day that He comes back. He's our victory. He's our help in overcoming all manners of anxiety, whatever it is, He's there. And we need to be able to lean on Him. Our faith depends on a victorious Savior. So none of these things should move us. None of them. And we want to go on and walk in this kind of victorious faith. You know, when we let's look at the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and I'll put it up here on the screen for you. But this is what we read. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, that's talking about you. And what that means is that the Spirit in you, the wisdom that comes from above, the power of God to be your Redeemer, to be your comfort, to be your peace, that's the power that helps you to overcome anything in this world. Anything. And he says, he goes on that, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Who is he that who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And we can overcome anything. We can overcome fear. Whether it's real fear, and there is a difference between real fear and imagined fear. When we think about fear and the things that it does to people, it makes people worry and it makes people anxious, and we don't want to live in fear. We don't want to live in fear. And we have to understand that not all fear is harmful. There is some fear that is really good for us. There's fear that guides and places our hearts and puts us in that right direction. Jesus taught that when we talk about this, He said, fear Him who is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. What does that mean? Fear God. That's what it means. You don't worry about men and what they can do to you. You don't worry about the goings on in the world and things that haven't happened yet, which is an imagined fear. That's happening today with all this talk about the coronavirus. There's a lot of imagined fear. And don't get me wrong, the virus is real. People are getting sick. People are dying. But there's a lot of people who aren't going to get sick. There's a lot of people who aren't going to die. But they live in fear. And we'll talk about that in a little bit here. Jesus also said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. That kind of fear can help save your soul. We need to perfect holiness in the fear of God. So there's good fear. Properly understanding who we should fear and what kind of fear we should have is good for us. And according to the American Heritage Dictionary, we have a harmful fear. A harmful fear is a feeling, an agitation, anxiety. It's things that cause us to feel the presence of an imminent danger even though it isn't necessarily there. A helpful fear is an extreme reverence or awe, in this case, is towards our God. And so, we need to be careful. We think about helpfulness, wisdom, godly fear. There's a phrase that came to my mind. Who would have thunk? Who would have thunk that there was so much power or benefit in the right kind of fear? When you think of fear, you usually kind of think on a negative term, but if you really think about it, there's great power in fear. As we look at these, you know, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge. It will cause one to hate evil. Fear will prolong a life. Fear provides strong confidence. It's a foundation for life. It prompts one to depart from evil. It leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. And it is the way to riches, honor, and life. They didn't fear. Who would have thunk? And it's not just expressed by Solomon here as we look at these different verses. There were many people that talked about this. You know, there was one fellow, Oswald Chambers. I like this. He says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Think about that. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. You know, when we fear God, that means we're going to be subservient to Him. We're going to obey Him. We're going to live by His will in our lives. We're going to do what He says, and we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're going to do everything we can to please Him, knowing who He is, and that He's promised to provide for us. He's promised to give us not just food, clothing, and shelter, but God also promised to give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. He promised to be the light guiding our lives, our footsteps down that path of life. And He promised to come back. And God always keeps His promise. And so when we think about this, it's very true that when we fear God, we don't need to fear anything else, because that means He's our Master, He's our King, He's our Lord, He's our Creator, He's our Father in heaven. You know, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus had been talking about a man. He says, if a son asks for a piece of bread, does the father give him a stone? But when we ask God, God gives us much greater, much more exceeding than we could possibly imagine. And so think about this. The right fear is the fear of losing God. Not of losing our life. We don't fear Him who can destroy the body, but we fear Him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. That's who we fear. And that's a healthy fear. So let's go on a little bit here. The wrong kind of fear. And there's a big list there of fears. And I, you know, you think about these fears and there's just plenty. A lot of reasons to think. And some of these are real fears. You see a vicious dog coming at you and you better fear. You know, that protects us. It causes us to run in the opposite direction. Fearing to talk in front of a group, though, you want to get over that. You know, fear of being able to just speak with an individual, you got to get over that. Fear of the dark, I suggest you get over that, because it's going to happen. Guarantee it. And there's all kinds of phobias and fears, but you know what? There's a difference between a real fear and an imagined fear. When we think of real fear, it's fear that can save your life. You think of that. You're walking down the trail in the hills up in California, in the northern part of California. You know what you do when you do that? When you're camping and hiking through those mountains, you carry a bucket, a can full of marbles, and you shake it as you go down the trail. And you know why? Because there's these 12-foot grizzly bears in those mountains. And you make all that noise, and them grizzly bears, they run and hide. They're afraid of the noise, that big old 12-foot grizzly bear. But if you don't fear and you walk up there, I'm not afraid of them bears, you're going to meet a 12-foot grizzly bear face to face, and it may just be too late. There is such a thing as real fear. And it is profitable. Luke chapter 12 and verse 25, what do we read there? I've already said it. Who should you fear? Fear Him who, after He has killed, has the power to cast into hell. Jesus said, I say, fear Him. And so those kinds of fears are real. They can help us. But then again, there's an imagined fear. And when we think about an imagined fear, read this with me. It says we get scared because of what we imagine. could happen. Some neuroscientists claim that the humans are the most fearful creatures on the planet because of our ability to learn, think, and create fear in our own minds, But this low-grade objectless fear can turn into chronic anxiety about nothing specific. And it can become debilitating. And I'm not just hinting on this coronavirus, because listen, the coronavirus is real. People have died because of this virus. It's real. But if you are afraid of this virus, then you're missing all the facts about virus. We talked about it this morning. I'm not going to go over that again. But the flu kills more people every year than this virus has so far. It's a terrible thing. And we need to respect it. There's a difference between fear and respect. But when we think about imagined fear, it's like the idea that you're going down the trail and that grizzly bear's not 12 feet, he's 27 feet. Or the wolf that you hear off in the distance at night, he's going to come into your camp and that wolf is 7 foot high by the head. Maybe it's a werewolf. You know, those are imagined fears. They're not real. I went to summer camp in those mountains in California year after year for a few years. And there was one time, my very first summer camp, where I was walking between my tent and a friend's tent way down the trail, and I had a little flashlight, and I'm shining that flashlight around, scared to death of the grizzly bear. Scared to death of the wolf. And I saw two shiny little eyes right there in the wood. My light stopped, my heart stopped, and my feet froze for a second, and then I ran like the wind, got in the tent with my three friends, and we sat in that tent. I told them I saw there was a wolf or a tiger or a bear, something out there, and he's coming. And I'm telling you, these 10 and a half, 11-year-old kids in that tent, all four of us were sitting in four different directions. I had my knife, and they had an axe, and we were all ready for that thing when it came through the tent. You know what it probably was? Bambi. Probably Bambi. It wasn't a bear. And it wasn't a wolf, and it wasn't a mountain lion. It was probably Bambi. So we can exaggerate our fears, and we need to be careful. Again, we have God before us. We have no reason to live with imagined fear. And I want to expound, you know, Brother Andy and I were talking this morning. There's something about imagined fear. You know, we work, go to the gym and we work out hours and hours and hours a week so that we're strong and healthy. We want to work our bodies so that we can live many, many years healthy. And then we go home and we lock all our doors so that nobody can get into the house at night and rob us and kill us. Because we're afraid that might happen. By the way, I lived in Akron for 30, and Barberton and Akron, 40 years, 45 years. You know that Sharon and I never, ever locked the doors on our house. Maybe that was stupidity, but we weren't afraid. Because I'm a person that knows how easy it is to open a door. And why do I want my doorknob broke? It only takes a pipe wrench and a twist and your doorknob's broken. It takes 1 second, the door's open. So I figure they're going to come in. They don't need to break a window or door. Just come on in. Because they're going to get in anyway. Anyway, I don't chasing rabbits here. You do all these things to protect yourself. You go to the doctor. You do all, and you know what happens? You're protecting yourself in every way you possibly can. Building up, eating the right kind of foods. You get in your car in the morning and you drive to work and die along the way. So just don't let fear be so manipulative and careful that it doesn't rule your life. Because the fact is, if you fear things like death, you can't enjoy life. You can't do that. We want to remember the Lord. He told His disciples that yes, I, this is going to happen. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And you'll be all scattered. You're going to leave me. And yet I'm not alone. Because the Father's with me. And if we can just believe that and hold on to that, there is nothing in this world. Who lives in fear will never be free. And certainly if you have fear controlling you in your life, you can't have peace and you cannot have true joy. It's fear that hinders our ability even to serve God. And listen, every one of us has to deal with what's going on in our lives today with the virus and with all kinds of things. We've all got to do that. And there is no judgment at all in this statement. But there are many churches that we've read about just today that are closing their doors. We can call that wisdom. But one, I believe, wise thought was made that there was a church that was closing their doors in the evening, not in the mornings. And so what is the virus less trouble in the morning than it is in the evening? So sometimes we make decisions, but listen, if you choose not to come, if you choose to stay home, if you choose to wear a mask, you know, there's no judgment there. But just remember that try to choose not to fear. Just understand that God's in full control. And I might add that God's not causing this virus to happen because of our sin. You need to know that. Because I know there's people out there today saying, you see, God's bringing judgment down upon the world. Fear is the sand in the machinery. Fear of people, fear of failure, fear hinders Christians in their service. We talked about that this morning, not the fear part as much, but not being able to do what we've been called to do. You know, there were teenagers that were polled, and they were asked, what are you afraid of? This is what they said. 44% of the teenagers said, failing in school. And yet, listen, there were things that I feared growing up. I feared my dad. But I never feared failing, although I did it a lot. So sometimes not fearing is foolish, isn't it? We should fear a little bit. I feared loneliness. I still do. You ask my wife, when she goes to visit and take care of my grandkids, she's gone for 3 or 4 days, and I'm just horrible. Life ends right there. But I get through it. I might be exaggerating just a little bit. Not having a boyfriend, they said, or a girlfriend. Rejection. Why are these things answers? Is it possibly because they put too much emphasis on the grade, too much emphasis on companionship, too much emphasis on the boyfriend, girlfriend, and too much emphasis on what other people think? When they should be thinking, God is with me. Jesus is my friend. God's, you know, He's eternal. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's ever present, right? Omnipresent. When you hide yourself in a closet, doesn't He know what you're going to think before you think it, what you're going to say before you say it? Doesn't He know your secret thoughts? He examines the inside here, the heart. These answers would change if somebody actually had an understanding of just how great our Lord is. Such fears have led young people to do many terrible things. Get into the wrong crowd. You know, I'm afraid of rejection, so this crowd over here, you know, I know they drink and do alcohol and stuff, but I don't want to be rejected. And I know that I'm not the best looking guy in the world, but you know, here's this girl, And maybe it's not the best choice in the world, but that's the best I can get. And I don't want to be alone. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to be around people. Even if it's not the right kind of people. And a lot of people are making those kinds of decisions because of these kinds of fears when they should be relying upon faith. The faith that can move mountains. The faith that walked upon the waters. The faith that raised Lazarus from the grave. The faith that healed the blind, the lame, and the sick. That made the mute to speak and the deaf to hear. The faith that said in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, "Peace be still. Calm the storms." That's the faith. Unless we overcome the wrong kind of fear, fear is going to control us. And the devil will have all kinds of weapons then. The devil says, "You're afraid of failing? I'm going to use that. You're afraid of being alone? I'm going to use that. You're afraid of not having a boyfriend or girlfriend? I'm going to use that. Are you afraid of rejection? I'm going to use that." And mark my word, he will. Faith in Jesus is what helps us to overcome fear. Jesus taught that fear is an indicative of little faith. You remember the disciples in Matthew 8, 23 through 27. That was the same account that's in Mark, and the storm's raging and the disciples are they're so afraid. And Jesus is not afraid. What's he doing? You remember what he's doing? What's he doing? He's asleep. And the disciples are just, these guys are experienced fishermen and they're afraid of the wind and the rain and the sea. They go to Jesus and they wake him up. "Master, you know, don't you care? We're all going to perish." Well, what did he do? "Peace, be still." No reason to fear. What would be really the right thing to do would be to sit on the bow of the boat and on the seats and watch the Lord sleep and say, "We're okay. We're okay." You know why? Right there's my Lord. I'm okay. Well, you know why? Right there's my Lord. There's no reason to be out of control. We think about that. What about Peter? When Jesus came out walking on the water, Peter says, "If it be you, Lord, bid me to come out and..." "Lord, it's I, come on, Peter." And Peter went out and he's walking on that water. And man, that has got to be the most exciting moment in his life. What happened? A little wind, sea kicks up. And why did he start to sink? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. That's why. No reason to fear anxieties concerning the necessities of life, because the Lord said He will provide. He'll provide. That doesn't mean we're going to drive Cadillacs. It doesn't mean we're going to have a mansion. It doesn't mean we're going to have a bank account with $100,000 in it. But what it does mean is you don't buy lottery tickets. I stood at the gas station just a couple days ago and I saw a woman driving. I saw her get out of the old beat-up car, had four kids in the back. She went and bought $50 worth of lottery tickets. You know what? Don't do that. Don't do that. Trust the Lord. And so, think about this. Fear is simply unbelief parading in disguise. That's all it is. And it's something that the devil really likes for you to do. And Jesus addresses our worst fears. The fear of being alone, what did he say? "I'm always with you." Right? Till the end of the age. "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We have a brother in Christ right now. He's really bad with cancer, but you know what he said to me just the other day? If I die, I die. I'm ready. That's what he said. What can the world do to us? Fear of death? Why would we fear death? When we read words like his own victory over death frees us from the fear of death. You think about that. Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 2. Actually, we just read this not too long ago in a Bible study. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Insomuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power over death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, if you're afraid of death, the devil's going to use that against you. He's going to get your mind focused on everything that's necessary to save your physical life, even if it means no Bible study. No time for Bible study. I got to go to the gym. There's no time for get-togethers. I got to make sure that I'm eating right and earning the right income and having the right medical care. He's going to use everything he can to keep you from him who overcame death. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a great thing to see somebody that's a true believer living without fear, facing death without fear. Paul could face death with great confidence and anticipation. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, Paul said. Remember that? Does it sound like a guy that's afraid? He says, but to live in the flesh means that this will mean fruit of my labor. So as long as I'm in this world, I'm going to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to be with Christ, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. We need to have that. Believe in those words. Trust in them. And don't let the things of this world drive you. Should we be wise? Yeah, we should be wise. Should we fear? No. The fear of what comes after death should scare you. If you're not in Christ, that should make you tremble. It should make you tremble because thousands of people have tried to prove that the Bible's wrong, hundreds of thousands, probably millions, I don't know, I've never thought to look that up, but people have tried to prove the Bible's wrong, and you know, there are so many times when something is proven wrong and it's just pulled off the shelf. You see any shelves that don't have Bibles on them? Are you so foolish? Really? Seriously? That people, the American Bible Society, back when I first started reading this, had $1 million check sitting in a safe and offered that to anybody that could prove that this was wrong. That $1 million is still there. It may still be there today. The Word of God is still here. And not only do thousands, hundreds of thousands try to destroy this book over the years, and it's still here, but thousands of people saw Jesus after His death alive. They saw Him crucified, and then they see Him alive. And you're going to deny that. And when you look at the Old Testament, day after day, we're reading more and more archaeological finds. Oh, I guess it is true what they said over here. Have anybody ever read the book of Job? You know, Job, in that book, talked about God stretching out His arm over into a space where there was nothing and hanging the earth on nothing. An empty space hanging the earth on nothing. You know what? That was back 3,000 some years ago when the Hindus thought that the earth was carried flat upon the back of four giant elephants standing on the back of a giant female turtle. That was back when most people thought the earth was flat. But they didn't read Isaiah, did they, that says that the earth, the circle of the earth, there are things in this book, and maybe we'll do a message on them. There are so many things in here that talk about stuff that we didn't even know until the industrial age. We didn't know it. And why don't we believe? Well, Jesus comforted His disciples with the promise of what lies ahead. In my Father's house, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be also. Why would we fear knowing that? What would we fear knowing that? Paul could look forward to what he received. We've already talked about that. And he did that because of Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith, the anchor of his soul. You think about Paul's valedictoria speech there, and it was all because he kept the faith. He ran the race. He expected to receive the crown that was laid up for him. And it was all because I kept the faith, he said. With the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ on our side, we can overcome anything. Remember Joshua chapter 1:9? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. So, where is faith that cannot abide? Where there is faith, fear cannot abide. Think about it. When a person's living by faith, fear has no room in there. You feed your faith, the fear dies. Fear knocks at your door, faith answers. Says, hey, go away, nobody's home. Or one of God's children lives here. Fear and faith, they can't keep a house together. When one enters, the other one has to leave. Fear imprisons faith. It liberates. Fear paralyzes. Faith empowers. Fear disheartens. Faith encourages. Fear sickens. Faith heals. Fear makes useless. Faith makes serviceable. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness in the heart of a life while faith rejoices in God. Think about this. Signs, wonders, miracles. God worked those to prove that He was who He was. Here upon the earth, Jesus Christ. His resurrection from the dead, proclaiming Himself to be the Son of God. Nobody else has ever been able to do that. And throughout the words of His inspired apostles, whose overwhelming testimony gives us reason to believe in Jesus, that He was, and what Jesus taught, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of death, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you fearful this day? Get rid of the fear. Come and become a part of God's family and allow Him to replace your fear with joy and rejoicing. If you've not been walking in the light, allow Him to replace that with rejoicing and reconciliation. You have need this day, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.